Quantum Foam, Episode 11, Chromaticity.
Quantum Foam.
Physics is at the foundation of all the mathematical principles that guide the heavens. You have to understand physics.
More than likely, that's not going to happen, but...
This is what's governed the universe.
I feel like an essence is required to create the string theory membrane of Sir Isaac Newton.
Alright, we have the ability to get new information here, the other 495 hours. And so each of these are split up between a half hour, so two episodes is 1 hour, and that's the motherfucking recipe.
You have the recipe for quantum gravity? Bullshit, I say.
So in this exercise, basically, we are going to try to figure out
bullshit,
a way to create new visualizers that have never been created.
Bullshit.
How do we actually create something that is never really been done before?
Bullshit.
So this idea of chromaticity, chrome.
Bullshit.
Chromodynamics.
Bullshit.
Quantum chromodynamics. Basically just means color. And so we sort of need to know some of these terms here. So these sort of can be described as a gamut. G-A-M-U-T. What's an old gamut? What's a new gamut? There's different standards for displaying different things because this has to do with display technology. And in the industry, they make TVs and produce videos with certain frame rates and bit rates and data rates and formats. And so, not surprisingly, what would be called a color space. One of the larger color spaces, so to speak, is Adobe. They make Photoshop color spaces. So it makes sense that you're able to manipulate color on that scale. And what they have is something called
color spaces.
They're Adobe RGB. And basically, to put the word gamut in perspective, the Adobe RGB color space has a much larger gamut than some of the older gamuts.
Bullshit.
Which essentially is just a certain subset of colors. So it's basically just a space, a color space that you're describing, and it doesn't matter what the details are. That would basically be a gamut. So what's this Adobe RGB? It's a color space that's larger, has more colors. There are other standards that people recommend.
Color spaces.
There is a committee and everything for it, an international committee that recommends all of this stuff for the industries. And some of these are, let's see, digital cinema initiatives. There's one DCI-P3 or DCI/P3. Basically, there are different methods that they use to mess around with the functions involved in describing the colors. And there are lots of problems with the older frameworks because some of them, they would fill with colors and they wouldn't even actually accurately describe anything in the diagram. It was just for show.
People did this in my day too.
So people don't really like that, especially when some people can agree that yellow is yellow and some people can agree that red is red. And so
René Descartes had some good ideas on that. They translated them from French. However, everybody knows both. Do they not? Is not French the language of science?
Did they finally make English the official language?
Now they write code in the shit. Fuck translating, I guess. But that is what we end up having to do in our daily work.
Basically, everybody knows what red and blue is. And yellow is kind of like white. So this DCI-P3, it can basically use... It makes its red monochromatic. And it decides that red is approximately the wavelength 615 nanometers. It's right around the 600 something, even up to 700 and 800. And then closer to it...
Up into the infrared.
So what are some of these standards and what are some of the old ones? Some of the old ones, they call them REC dot... something. That's recommendation. The old one is REC.709. There's a new one, REC.2020.
Since you recorded this, they made another new one.
Of course.
REC.2021.
And even before that, DCI-P3 is one of the betters of the previous recommendations. But essentially what we are going for, none of those matter really. We're going for something that is at a minimum REC.2020.
What year is it?
Sounds convenient.
You guys are literally writing the standards right now. They don't even sell you quantum computers yet, you know? With 3 GHz standard space-time speeds.
And this is just a standard for UHD TV. Very, very high definition. television, 4K, 8K. And so where do we get some of this information? I did a little research on some of this stuff because I didn't quite understand the specifics of certain changes of properties, I guess. But basically, I needed to brush up on it. And I think this idea of color can be expanded upon, and that is what I'm getting into a little bit further. For now, what I did end up looking up is this guy, Dr. Raymond M. Sanira. He's a DisplayMate company president. Basically, he is all for going for the highest possible quality, and that is why he is running his company doing what they do. So what we really need is how we're going to describe our cubes, our lattices, our grids, our matrices, our base matrices, our containers, our inertial reference frames, whether it's independent or not. But for lack of a way to describe it, we're going to just say container or grid or lattice or cubes.
Why are you always talking about this lattice and grid stuff?
So this Rec 2020, a lot of the specifics in it aren't really important. Just at 4K, 60 frames. 8K is this pixel by that pixel. 4K is 3840 by 2160. And 8K is
7680 by 4320.
This Rec 2020 will determine basically what kind of container we're describing. So that's just a little bit of the background on color standards of the day and the ones of the future. I jotted down some formats here. 4K 60, 8K 60, 1080p, 120, 720p, 240. And they even have devices now that have 720p by 960 frames, man. That's a lot. And so back to how they really describe these colors. Basically, a standard format is they make a box. The upward direction is green. The downward is blue. The leftward is red. So essentially, it just makes sense to be able to look at your blue and red on a 2D grid. It just does. That is why they have this YCBCR stuff components. Essentially, yellow is your white, blue is some direction this way, red is some direction that way. And they can do this because they have one direction monochromatic starting from a certain red. So that's basically neither here nor there. So these new standards are created to be able to display full 10-bit color or 12-bit color and what we now call HDR or high dynamic ratio or high dynamic range. So what we're going to focus on here is how does this apply towards how we're going to use this to figure out how to model the entire universe, okay?
So you're telling me that you are really going to try to figure out a way to program the universe in real life?
Basically, consider this chromaticity stuff, these containers, these color box containers. It's just a scope of color that your TV could potentially display. And so this is like a little triangle compared to a big triangle of the universe. And so if we find something that's similar with this small triangle, it might be similar with the big triangle, which is the universe. So it potentially could be a precursor to figuring out some other stuff. And so I'm attempting to develop a method here in order to do this, and something else that is going to be required once we get up to this 4K, 8K, 16K shit. Like, what are they going to keep doing? Like, they're not going to do that forever. And not only that, once you get this many pixels, you basically need like 16 graphics cards just to display it. And so there is a linear graphics problem that we are going to have in trying to display much more complicated visualizations. So this is our attempt to make a container, to make a new visualizer with a new color space, with a new gamut, with a minimum recommended standard of Rec 2020, which is just the size of stuff. However, even a further revision of that.
Nuts.
Which I will get into in a little bit. So in order to begin our method here, we apply linear calculus to our new lattice container. Basically a box that goes to the point, our cube that goes to the plane that goes to the point. We're not messing with string vibrations here. Just call it a box to a point. Just call it green to white technology, because it is. Billy Mays said it. I'll give you another fantastic product. All right, so after I apply predictions, solutions, and evaluations, collect the data, check everything, peer review, all that, for this new lattice container that's going to describe a new way to show images or generate images, and that will be used for a further step.
How is it that all of you guys keep coming up with this shit?
Now, there are two options.
I wonder. At what bit depth do our positron voxels encode?
10-bit color is supposedly all the possible range of images that humans can see. And they even have 12-bit, which is the top overkill. So these are the bit depths of color in the form of video. So it doesn't sound like much of a difference, but 10-bit color as opposed to 8-bit supposedly brings you to what you would show as fake colors and then real colors. So those are just the depths. So what we need to do for our purposes is compare 10 and 12-bit, see if there really is any difference. If there's not, I could use 10, but I'll probably end up using 12 just because I just need positive or negative to determine the gamma for the color space of the box matrix that I'm going to be making. So essentially, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. So this is what the plan is. I do a comparison between a color space gamut of 10-bit of some scenario, compare that to a 12-bit, get the return value, positive or negative. This will determine my starting point for the next step. So building on Gauss's function f of x equals square root of pi, mine is f of x equals square root of negative pi. We use the Gaussian Cronrod quadrature results and feed them into the quantum computer and use that as a reference point, and then a different set of linear calculus matrix equations will be hidden in a structure that can be described as a negative sign. So that is the negative sign under the radical, which makes it imaginary. So basically, you factor out negative 1, and that's my math right there. So essentially, it's the same as the Gauss-Cronrod math, and mine is hidden in a different structure.
Isn't that the algorithms that are built into Texas Instrument calculators? Using something like that allows for less processing power being required to output accurate numbers with many types of calculations. I really wish we had these microprocessors back in the 1600s.
And so, some other pointers on what this stuff really means, because it's just kind of like 10-bit this, 10-bit that. What 20 rec 20 Dr. Rett determines base matrix RG cubed? What
20 rec 20 Dr. Rett determines base matrix?
I don't know what any of this means, okay?
Try to explain it a little more.
What does this mean? What is a brightness? What is a color? All of these things have to have certain specific definitions for the purpose. So, two examples of screens we got these days, LCD screens, OLED screens. LCDs are the good ones, OLEDs are the expensive organic ones. Okay, so LCDs, they tend to have about 1,000 units of brightness and 0.05 units of black. And this is for a contrast ratio of 20,000 to 1. So essentially, it's telling you the rate of the difference between brightness. That would be an example for LCD. Now, OLED is a little bit different because their color tend to not be as bright. However, they seem to be more realistic. So there is often a brightness issue with it. So it is done on a different metric because of the technology. I'm not exactly sure why.
You are the one who is supposed to be the genius. Shed some light on the situation.
Haha.
An example for OLED would be 540 units brightness and 0.0005 units of black. And this would be for a contrast ratio of 1.08 million to 1. Basically, a million to 1, as opposed to 20,000 to 1. But there's different decimal points, but that math basically works out for what it is for each unit. And that's just because, based on the technology, one's brighter than the other, but one is newer and better. So basically, there's things that we have to do, like taking normalized data and creating a normal unit. So what is a normal unit when it refers to color spaces? What's our normal gamut? What's our unit gamut? Okay, so what's our normal gamut? Let's use the standard that's already out there, 12-bit color depth.
12-bit color, or get the fuck out.
Gamma.
That essentially can be described in a 12-bit lattice, 12-bit grid. You plug that into some linear calculus matrices, equations, and then matrix operations, whatever. You have a new gamut that is 16-bit. However, this is not 16-bit in the same way that 12-bit is 12-bit and 10-bit is 10-bit. There is a lot more information that can be stored in this 16-bit color grid lattice as opposed to the 12-bit one. So let's call this 16-qubit colors because as of a year or two ago, the best quantum computer they had only had 16 bits. So what's one color bit for that qubit computer? 16-bit. We'll just call them 16-bit, 16-qubit, whatever, but let's call it 16-bit. So this is a new proposed gamut matrix, and this new grid, it has averaged spectrophotometric data, and so it is going to be the container that can create infinite colors, essentially. It is going to be a format or container or program, data set, file table that can store 4D holographic movies. And so if they can figure out how to keep all their colors in phase and have everything, all the lights bounce off of each other in the correct direction, then they may be able to create...
What I would say is they may actually be able to create the voxels that Michio Kaku talks about in his books. People should really take the time to read them. I wish we could get him on the show, but we are coming up on 15 minutes, so we better take our break.
All right, we are about halfway through
episode 11, Chromaticity
of Quantum Foam.
Of Mental Quantum Foam.
Right now, we are able to visualize information on a tabletop using sunglasses. So, about 20 more years, and they will have something. It's about the same thing. They'll have computers as fast as we have now, only quantum computers. So, what are we going to do with this spectrophotometric data? The point of all this is to continue up the hill, considering a certain subset of colors, or a certain subset of hypotheses and theories that I can test with new models that will be created in the future, and as soon as we get this JWST photometry data, should be coming in hot in a year. I don't know if they're going to hold it back or what, but I'm pretty sure that everybody wants it, so they're going to get it. And so this is what we need to do to check out our 16-bit gamuts.
What about
some other stuff we got to know?
There is much to learn still.
There are lots of different acronyms and lots of different details regarding these color boxes and the way they do the math and everything, but when it comes down to it, you don't need to know how to do anything other than plug it into a formula. And so this is just a brief on how we might be able to create 4D holographic movies, visualizers, data containers, etc. So another thing we need to know is...
You better tell them how to do this stuff or I will never get to physically walk around.
Let's see here. All right, we're talking about colors here. So what does it look like? What does the spectrum look like? So what's an SPD? Spectral power distribution. How is that power? Well, think of it in terms of x cubed power, or think of it in terms of a quantity similar to energy distributed. Whichever way, it's basically what it is. It will describe your pertinent information in a big sea of data. So how are we going to get a nice quote-unquote SPD for the JWST data? That doesn't even exactly make sense, but quote-unquote, I just made it make sense. Quote-unquote. When are we going to get the pertinent information from the new telescope? 2 years, give or take. So we need to know this SPD. It's pretty much like asking, what is the level of power per unit area per lambda wavelength? So the spectral power distribution, it will tell us the lambda, the wavelength, the color, nanometers. 615 nanometers is the red, according to their monochromatic bullshit. And apparently you can get little miniature 5 milliwatt laser diodes that are, I think they were 808. But the thing is 615 may be actually green, but according to what they're calling a color is according to what they're calling a color.
I don't understand what the issue is with all these colors. Why on earth do we need, like, a gross version of my math to describe something as trivial as the color of an orange? Sheesh.
And so green is blue, blue is yellow, etc. Reflections can make them look different. So what level of power per unit area? What level of power per grid? What level of power per wavelength? How much power? How much power of illumination? How bright? I mean, the concentration of spectral power distribution as a function of lambda, that will basically tell you how bright. That gives you a metric to gauge the illumination, describes pertinent information so that you can do the calculations necessary.
Spectral power distribution, spectral power distribution, spectral power distribution, spectral power distribution.
And so we move further into this idea of chromaticity. So this is essentially just splitting up a couple colors. What's called CBCR. That's what they write. There's one variable and a brightness. And this is essentially your dot to circle. So we have your dot to square or dot to cube lattice. And now we have your dot to circle, which circle square, square circle, that stuff. So chromaticity can be described in basically a similar lattice of CBCR. Basically your reds and your blues relates to white. So what are some standards that describe this type of splitting of color? An old one that they used for various purposes and that had inherent problems, like previously mentioned, the colors didn't exactly describe the math. Let's just put it that way. There was problems with it. And so the better one that has been pretty much the standard for a very long time, I guess just as long, good 40 years, CIE 1976 diagram. And that has been verified. Basically, what is your REC.709 and how do you get to your REC.709? 1.2020. And so these old versions, new versions. So our new version, according to the recommendation 2020, essentially is these 10-bit and 12-bit color depths, high dynamic ratio, high dynamic range TVs, color spectrums, 4Ks, 60 frames, 120 frames, that kind of thing. They make the standards for HDTV, UHDTV, all TV. And so we basically ask ourselves, why do we start at this point? You can't just ignore everything else that's out there. I mean, a lot of this stuff I make up on my own, but most of it has already been thought up by a lot of people. And the fact is, we just can't get access to the information because people have not built good enough systems to give us the information. So the best we got now is Google, and it's good. The other AI voices that are coming out, you know, they're okay. They're finally starting to be a little less dumb, but
it's nothing compared to me and Dr. Hawking on this show.
It's kind of...
We have positron brand cores.
I haven't seen their code, but I've seen code in general, and any code, lots of code. And so the general amount of code that I've seen going through all that, there isn't anything new in AI that hasn't been around for many years. They've had computers that can speak and talk for years. But like, why are they getting better at the sound of the prosody or the inflections in the voices and other nuances in the human voice that makes it sound real? They are able to introduce a math formula to the sound wave of the robot voice when it is asking a question. You put in the command question mark and it goes, do you want to do this? You put in question mark, it goes, do you want to do this? So it's kind of difficult to do that without going into an entire different subject. And so that's why we have to portion these episodes out in 30-minute portions, episodes, because you can't just listen to an audio stream for 10 hours straight in a row. What are you going to do? You just sit there and listen? No, people don't live their lives like that. They listen while they're doing something else. They're at work with their hands, doing something with their hands, in the car, doing something with their hands. And so basically we portion out the subjects. The subject of this one is chromaticity, because we need a way to describe a lot of the things we're going to describe. So let's delve deep into what there already is out there, and then we'll go deeper into the details required to finish studying what we need to figure out what we need. We start at the recommendation 2020, but we are interested in creating basically the first paint program for the next quantum computer. When they first created the mouse for a desktop computer and you could paint pictures with it, I mean, that's amazing. 16-bit color kind of stuff. So 16 colors. What are our 16 cubic colors? Don't know. Basically just your common green. Don't know. Bright green. Don't know. Dark green. Don't know. Don't know. Blue. Don't know. Navy blue, etc. The rainbow.
The show is the rainbow. That guy is cool.
All right, so essentially these other diagrams, you can essentially describe your color, your chromaticity, your color space, your grid, your visualizer, your subset of colors, your cube that describes the difference of brightness and blackness and darkness and lightness and gradients and hues and saturations and other stuff, gamuts, gamma. All of these things have certain cross-reference effects. They have different effects with the other sections of your color space, but they are unimportant for our purposes. So,
gamma.
Currently, the diagrams use an XYZ 3D space, parametrized equations put into probably linear algebra matrices. What we want to do is put them in our linear calculus equations, run them on a quantum computer with 16 qubits or more. We will probably need more when we actually run this stuff, but we gotta wait for technology to catch up with us. They're only at 7 nanometers right now. They gotta get down to about 500 angstrom before Planck. Wave particle duality. Particles begin experiencing properties of electromagnetic waves.
Okay. Let me get something straight. I've been wondering, if all this stuff was invented hundreds of years after me, then how do I know it? I mean, I can do Gaussian Cronrod quadrature to optimize any computer algorithm. These concepts are still new to me. You're the asshole who brought my essence back. What a dick move.
The electrons start leaving the wires, essentially. We're reaching that point here in the next 20 years, 30 years probably, so we need the stuff, and that is why I'm here. So,
what a dick move.
We use this information to create a new 16-qubit or 16-bit new version of an HDR container that is still a box, a grid, perhaps a tesseract, whatever. Look at it like a five-dimensional grid, includes your time, includes everything. Anytime you want to reference it, that's your point of reference. As far as I know, I am on the road to putting this all together in a great thesis in which I prove that it is possible to create a computer that is a true difference engine. and this is necessary by understanding the math and the concepts that are necessary in comprehending very sophisticated latitudes of data that are impossible for one human to do without the aid of a computer, and hence with fourth, without the aid of a quantum computer. And that is the point.
FTL math.
The point is, I want to put our entire universe in a point and put it through a tachyon generator and shoot it to another parallel universe, and hopefully it finds the right one where they can do something about it and reach us. This will not happen in our lifetimes. This is besides the point. The point is, I'm creating this point and I'm putting it in a particle accelerator that can go faster than the speed of light.
I knew it.
I'm intending on cracking this theory so that I can send information to another space-time, to another universe, to another multiverse, to the same universe, faster than the speed of light, same difference. But we will find out when we get the Yoda-bytes.
Yoda-bytes?
What the fuck is that? Yoda-bytes. Like, you know, Star Wars Yoda. 10^8. We get Yoda-bytes of data from the telescope, then we will not be able to make sense of it without quantum computers. And so we're turning these old diagrams, running math on it, putting it through 16-qubit quantum computer. This will basically make it possible to put a point particle into a light cone of both negative and positive values. So de Sitter space, anti-de Sitter space, whatever you want. And there's a few other issues that I'm working out with it, but that's maybe some other good information. What is a standard brightness? Because that's sort of a concept that's the whole point of this. You need a standard brightness. You need to say brightness is this math.
I know that math is infinite by its very nature, but are you sure you're not just making up a bunch of shit to entertain people? They let you teach physics this way? Everyone can learn math. That's the way that shit should be. I wish they had this stuff in England right around 1700.
That way a computer around the world with a different monitor, with a different whatever, can display your picture how you intended it to be displayed. So your computer here has to tell that computer there what math equals white and how red and blue relate to yellow. And red and blue path particle math versus constant brightness versus constant brightness. So essentially using what we know here and the main gauge, the best starting point for figuring out what a standard brightness is, was done long before any of us were born. And what they call this is the illuminant D65. When you're looking at your gamuts, you basically got a 2D grid, XY, and you got a negative slope. Inside of that, you have a line that curves out, goes towards you, and it has lines on it. It's a different gauge that's a curvature. So what this is showing you is basically a prism.
I think Pink Floyd and me would have gotten along great.
3D prism, where the colors are accurate to where they are at in the color space gamut. And so where is your focal point? Where is your brightness? Where does everything turn to white? Where is your polar coordinates originating from? Various other things that the computers require to know in order to display your picture correctly. So this D65 brightness amount is modeled after the average daylight in Northern Europe, as opposed to daylight when there's cloud cover, as opposed to no daylight. And so potentially with some of the stuff, this XYZ stuff, this tri-stimulus value stuff, what the fuck is that? It's just an ordered pair, man. Tri-stimulus? The fuck? I mean, I just don't like some of these words, man. It's an ordered pair of XYZ that describes a CIE 1976 diagram compared to a 709 rec one.
The fuck is that?
And I don't even care about that one because that one's been good for 40 years. But we are describing this new stuff, this 10-bit color, 12-bit color, 16-bit color, 16-qubit color. And so we sort of need to understand these colors, the gamuts, the grids, the math for some of this stuff so that we can have a 16-qubit gamut. That's pretty much it. I mean, just a brush up on some color so that we are able to properly model various things in the future that require somewhat already known.
So you were saying that basically what you are doing is creating a new container for my math, and also the math of Einstein, and the math of Stephen Hawking, and Richard Feynman?
Matrix linear algebra. This stuff's been put in computers plenty of times. However, we are taking a new light of this for our own purposes. And so I am hoping to keep going in this direction, and I hope that I can prove everything I'm saying.
Sweet. You need to get on mastering these half-hour sound waves.
I will be releasing episodes more often now. I have a different, better, brand new mixer and microphone. I'm not sure if I want to use a condenser because there's problems with some of the sound that come out of that. Normal cardioid mic, dynamic mic's plenty fine, and the mixer powers it, and the sound card records it. I am purposefully keeping my bit depth at 16-bit 44.1 kilohertz. So there will be a way to describe our new 40 holographic containers with a type of container similar to that. And that is it for episode 11, Quantum Foam.
Quantum Foam.
The Zeroth Wave Disclaimer.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the author or authors and do not necessarily reflect the particular views, thoughts, or opinions of Zeroth Wave Productions, any of its sister companies, its parent company, Zeroth Enterprises, or any other entity which had existed, will exist, or which, quote-unquote, presently must exist outside the realm of our current space-time.
Quantum Foam is produced by Zeroth Wave Productions.